Today on the Travel and Entertainment Guys.
If you travel with children, we'll make you a smarter traveler with tips from the editor of the Family Travel website.
Remember Paul and Phil, morning radio program that was part of our lives for many years? Well, today we have Phil Cowan of Paul and Phil, and he's here to talk about Burning Man, the spectacle in the desert.
Mileage Master Ben Schlappig is here with updates, particularly for those of you who are United and Continental frequent flyers.
We introduce you to Sacramento 365. This is a terrific way to find out about everything that's happening in and around Sacramento.
Sex in the Sky Amsterdam has a new boat tour you can take from the airport, and beware of scalpers at Niagara Falls. Coming up in the travel news today on the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Sacramento, Northern California. Tom Romano here along with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark, good to see you. Busy show today.
Nice to see you, sir. And boy, do we ever have a packed show for you today. Everything from family travel to frequent traveler tips to ways to find out what's going on in Sacramento to an old
Burning Man in the Desert.
Burning Man in the Desert all today.
All right, let's get started. Of course, we at this time of the program right off the top, let's kick in the Mark Hoffman Trio. Background news music.
Got rid of the fourth musician again?
Yeah.
Just got the trio now, huh?
Oh, no, not that news music. The one that's just, never mind. Here's Mark with the news.
All right, here we go. A sex scandal forces Cathay Pacific to review their marketing strategy. The airline Cathay Pacific was set to unveil a marketing campaign that bills the airline as the team who go the extra mile to make you feel special.
And how's that?
Well, that was before a video came available that shows a lady in a red outfit resembling a cabin crew uniform performing a sex act on a man, reportedly her boyfriend, on board one of the Cathay Pacific planes.
Mm-hmm.
So they have postponed the marketing campaign. A Cathay spokesman said in a statement released Friday that the two members of the crew shown in compromising situations in the photographs are no longer employees of the company. It was not clear whether the pair were sacked or resigned voluntarily, as the airline said it would not disclose details. The airline also refused to say whether the incident took place in the plane's cockpit, but said the investigation found no evidence to suggest the act happened on any of its flights while airborne.
Well, that's good to know.
The unidentified man in the photo of the video, who's said to be a pilot but not wearing a Cathay Pacific pilot's uniform, has reportedly told a local newspaper that the photos were stolen from his personal computer.
There you go. Now, wasn't there a name for that, like the Million Mile
or something? Yes, club? It's the Mile High Club, I think, is the name of that. Police have arrested six in a Niagara Falls ticket scam. Law Enforcement Task Force led New York State Parks Police,
mm-hmm.
To arrest six men in connection with an organized criminal enterprise that operated out of a city-owned parking lot in downtown Niagara Falls. The six were involved in selling stolen tickets to the Maid of the Mist and Cave of the Winds tours, using state park employees to actually steal the tickets. Speaking of attractions of that type, Legoland is rebuilding their theme park in Southern California, and they're selling a $2,500 lifetime ambassador pass. Includes lifetime admission, preferred parking, special events, and other add-ons.
And how much would that be?
$2,500
for a lifetime pass to
Legoland.
Legoland. Did you play with Legos? I never did.
Lincoln Law. I was a Lincoln Law boy.
Too.
Midwestern boy.
Tinker Toys.
Absolutely. You know, that flight that you booked, you might want to check on it again after a big buildup earlier this year, especially on international service. The airlines are starting to reduce capacity. Southwest and AirTran have cut some flights out of their winter schedules, and last week Delta Airlines quietly slashed its Salt Lake City hub by 14%. United and Continental are cutting back by about 5% after Labor Day. Just this week, the IATA, the travel industry's global trade group, reported that premium class flyers represent just 8% of the traffic, but 27% of the revenue. So it doesn't take very many of those high-priced flyers staying home to make a flight or a route uncomfortable or unprofitable. The thing is, if you have an airplane flight that you've booked in the next few months and you haven't checked on it recently, it might not be a bad idea to just go to your computer and pull it up, make sure that everything is fine. Qantas has taken in-flight entertainment to dizzying heights by including, among its offerings, a 50-minute French documentary, The Female Orgasm Explained, which comes inclusive of naked scenes and reveals the mysteries of female sexual pleasure, according to the Sydney Morning Herald.
Now, what flight is that?
The documentary is part of the airline's The Edge channel, which gives new meaning to videos on demand. You can now watch dirty movies on airplanes. The Russians are building a space hotel. It's going to open in 2016. It will accommodate, what is it, seven people at a time. You'll have to have 3 months of special training, and you will float 250 miles above the Earth.
You got a nice picture here. I'm guessing this is at TravelGuysRadio.com?
It absolutely is, yes, if you would like to. You'd like to see more about it. And speaking of cool things to do in other countries, Amsterdam, Schiphol Airport, if you're familiar with it, great place to change planes if you're going on an international trip. They now have a tour that this is kind of like the duck tours, Tom, you know, where you get on the land vehicle and it goes into the water. This one comes to the airport, picks you up, then goes off into the canals, takes you on a sightseeing tour, brings you back to the airport. So if you've got a long layover in Amsterdam, you no longer have to worry about things to do.
Looks like a big floating bus.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And that is your travel news for today.
And coming up in just a couple of minutes, we're going to be checking in with a gal who is a vacation critic for those that like to vacation with family, and that's going to fit a lot of folks. You're going to love this interview. Tom Romano here with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. You're listening to the Travel Guys, and you know, Mark, I'll tell you, when my kids were little, I wish this website and our next guest would have been available to me to save me a lot of grief on those family vacations.
That's right, because you had two little ones who are not so little anymore. Didn't you say one of yours? Well, I don't want to give away everybody's age on the radio, but I thought I heard the word 30.
Yes, just turned the big 30.
Is that the one I used to buy the Girl Scout cookies?
That's right. Mark used to. I would come to his office, and he and his staff would buy boxes and boxes. Of course, Mark takes
our folks Girl Scout cookies on the motor coaches for weeks.
There you go. Yeah, and he would buy boxes and boxes. He was Sarah's best customer.
and so now the kids have grown, and so now you're not quite as when you go on vacation. It's a little bit more. More a little bit more of an adult type surrounding, but for many folks,
yes,
that is not their reality when they go on vacation. Including all those people who are on the airplane with me coming back from Denver the other day, they all had one guy got on. He had one lap child, his wife had a lap child, and there were three other small rugrats following them onto the airplane. And so we have with us here Lisa Pyro. Lisa is the editor of A Family Vacation Critic, which is a great website that we're going to tell you all about today here. And thank you for being patient, Lisa, while we reminisced.
Oh, no, that's okay. You just made me hungry for Girl Scout cookies.
Tom and my history goes back way past the year and a half that we've been doing this this travel show together.
They have. Let's put it this way: they have come out with two or three different flavors of Girl Scout cookies since Mark bought the first batch from Sarah.
Yeah, and some flavors have not survived.
I think the transition.
Yeah. Lisa, I loved your website. For people who have to travel with families, they face a whole different set of challenges when they go on the road. Never mind the family that was traveling with one, two, three, four, count them, five in tow the other day. That's just a natural disaster, and that shouldn't be allowed to happen. But those people are going to have to stay home. I admire people who go. I had a lady sitting next to me on one of my flights last week who had a baby, and she's trying to balance what she was trying to eat and the child and all of those things. What an incredible challenge just to get there. But all of the challenges that you face in preparation and how do you keep the kids busy, help us.
Well, and that's certainly what we are here to try to do. I've been traveling with my children since my daughter was 6 months, and I put her on a plane. I thought, you know, she's going to sleep most of the time anyway. Might as well take a trip. And she developed a fever. She was up all night. She was miserable. Our trip wasn't as much fun as we hoped it would be, but we didn't let that deter us. And you know, we're travelers. We've always been travelers, and we know that everybody else wants to take a vacation, get away for a weekend, do something, and just because we have kids, we don't want to have that stop. So what our site is here to do is try to make it easier. You know, it's planning is really going to be the key thing that's going to make a trip worth it. You want to know that you're going to go to a hotel that's going to be family-friendly, that the destination's going to be family-friendly, that everything that you need is going to be available to you. So that's what the site is kind of there to do. It's got a little bit of everything so that people can find what they're looking for and plan ahead before they get there so that when they get there, it's hopefully a lot of fun. I mean, despite tantrums and some mishaps that might happen along the way.
Yeah, that's going to happen. Lisa, the number one do's in family vacation planning.
Oh, gosh.
Was it the preparation?
I think it's preparation because if you're not ready and you're just kind of winging it, there are going to be so many surprises that are going to come up. You're going to spend a lot more money than you wanted to spend, than you expected to spend. If you're planning ahead of time, you're going to get the best deals. You're going to know in advance what you might need to bring or what you're going to have to set up for you. You're going to be prepared with your kids' schedules and how to adjust, because if you're traveling with little kids, you really should try to stay on their schedule so you'll have an easier trip, because you know, keeping a toddler up past his bedtime just so you can go see one more site is going to end up being a problem for you. You're going to wind up with that kid on the floor somewhere screaming, and you're going to wish he would have just stayed home. So the preparation, I think, is key.
What is the number one place that you don't want to take kids on a vacation?
Oh, gosh. Well, you
wait a minute. I can answer that. Yeah. No, Lisa, it'd be better if you answered it.
Well, I think Cancun during spring break is really not going to be much fun.
How about cruises?
Cruises are fantastic. We just took our first cruise, and I loved it because you've got everything right there. You've got so many different things that you can do. A lot of cruises these days are focusing on the family, so they've got kids programs for different age groups. They've got things that you can do together as a family, but you can also separate. The kids can get their alone time. Teens can get away from their parents and not have to scowl at you all day. The little kids are going to find something to do. Mom might be able to go spend some time in a spa. And then again, you come together for meals. And you can kind of price it ahead of time. You know what you're going to be spending. It's not all inclusive, but it's close enough where you can be prepared. So I do think cruises for families are a good idea.
Lisa, do you obviously this would vary from hotel to hotel, but do you find a particular hotel chain that seems to get it when it comes to family travel?
Well, there's different levels, you know, with the price points, but there are a lot of hotels that are starting to do more kid-focused packages. Omni Hotels actually has a really great program. They do some things for kids. They'll have a special kids suite as well, where you might want to book that one, where you get your own room and connected to it is a kids suite with bunk beds or twin beds and bean bags and low furniture, lots of color. My kids love those rooms when they get to stay there. The Hyatts have good programs, and they do things for the children. And a lot of times these hotels will have, you know, you'll walk in and check in, and they'll have a special check-in for kids or special toys or backpacks with some gear in them. And then you can get, you know, cookies and milk that get delivered at turndown service. And these are nice. And then you've got, you know, higher-end places, of course, like the Four Seasons. You know, they're going to go above and beyond in what they're going to have for kids programs. And they'll have kids clubs so that you can also do other things while you're there. You can go golfing or to the spa while your kids are enjoying something else. So there are a lot of hotels that are focused on that. And our site focuses on those hotels. So when you're looking at anything on our site that has the hotel listing, we've got reviews of these hotels and tell you exactly what age groups they're for or that they're best for and what kind of programs they're going to have on property. So it makes it a little easier for you.
Our guest is Lisa Pyro, who is with FamilyVacationCritic.com. Lisa, we kind of focus perhaps on younger children that need, you know, more preparation. What about teenage kids when you're out traveling, kids that are, you know, they don't need you standing over the top of them the whole time, and right. They're maybe thinking they're a little independent, more independent than you're thinking they are.
Yep.
What would you suggest for that age group?
Well, these, you know, I think that that's a tough age group, and we've got a lot of parents who ask us about this because you've got these
I'm not surprised.
Who, they don't want to travel with you. They want to be left alone, but you want to take a vacation and still be a family.
So how do you get the kids to allow you to incorporate them on a level that works for everybody?
Well, asking them what they want to do is a big part of it. Having them help plan the vacation with you and let you know what types of things they want to see and that they want to do that you can do together, I think, is a really big part of it. You know, let them help you choose a destination. You know, you can narrow it down to a few and let them choose it. Let them start planning what they want to see while they're there and then agree to do those things. Say, you know, if you come with me to, you know, X museum, I'll go with you to this. They're going to want some more adventurous programs, and they're going to also want that chance to get away. So look for those hotels that are going to have programs, especially all-inclusive resorts. If you go away somewhere like that, they'll have programs for teens. The teens will be safely supervised, and you can trust that they can get away. They can meet other kids. They can feel like they're cool for the moment, and then you can come together again and do some activities together or see them at meal times, and, you know, they might actually smile at you.
You know, did you see the movie RV?
Oh, yes.
Okay, that's what you don't want to do with your teenage kids. What is the top two destinations for family vacations with, you know, kids with all ages?
Well, obviously, everybody's going to say Florida and Disney World, and that is just because it's popular with so many age groups. I mean, even teens like going, and you can let your teens go and walk around on their own at Disney World. You know that they're not going to go.
But it's so expensive, and there's so much humidity, and there's so many people.
Well, you go when it's, you know,
Lisa,
you go
what's the number two
season.
One on your list?
Well, the Caribbean is a really popular spot for families because they've got so many all-inclusive resorts, and families seem to like that concept of, you know,
should
let's
we,
pay
should
for
we
it.
Tell Tom, should we tell Tom what state we broadcast? Should we tell her what state we're broadcasting from?
Oh, that you are in California.
Yes, sir.
Well, is there anything on this side of the world?
Well, there is. I mean, you've got a lot. You guys can get down to Mexico really easily, and there are a lot of great places. You know, stay away from Cancun at spring break, but yeah. Riviera Maya is just up the road, and it's got some quieter resorts. You're going to be a little bit safer. You know, you're not going to have those
I like
party
that safer
kids.
Part, yes.
We do have this other old-fashioned resort in California called Disneyland. Maybe you heard of it?
You know, this. When I say Disney, I should, you know, I'm from Florida, and I have a tendency of saying Disney World instead of just saying
yeah,
Disney.
Yeah, so you'll know our magic kingdom is cooler than your magic kingdom.
Right? Oh, not one bit. We have a bigger castle, and our Space Mountain's cooler.
Yours is bigger, but ours was first.
Yours was first. But, you know, then he made all the mistakes, and then he did it right.
Gosh, does this sound like a family squabble or what?
But, you know, you've got a lot of great theme parks, and you've got a lot out in your area where we've got articles like this where it might be factory tours, things you can go do on the weekend. And when I'm saying factory tours, they're like candy manufacturers, or you know, you can go
Jelly Belly. There you
go. Exactly. That's like a big one. So you don't even have to take a great big vacation. You just want to do something for the weekend. You can be silly and plan an entire trip around going to the Jelly Belly factory because it's fun. Kids are going to love it. You know, you're going to eat candy. And then, you find some other things to do around that area. You know, you can get to different beaches or different parks, and you build a trip like that.
Lisa, before we let you go, I want to just mention your website again, Family Vacation Critic, and there's a link to it on Travel Guys Radio. So you folks who are driving around Sacramento, don't worry about it. When you get home, just go to TravelGuysRadio.com. You can see the links for everybody that was on the show today. But Lisa, your website has a wonderful interaction part to it where folks can post a question or ask something and get answers from other folks who might have had the same experience.
Yes, we've got a pretty nice forum community there where people can talk to each other. If somebody's saying, you know, I'm going on a cruise for the first time, what do I bring? People are happy to join and tell them what they're going to do. We've got on our hotel reviews, we've got the journalists who reviewed them with their families, but you've also got families who have reviewed them. So you get their accounts on it, you know, what they thought was happening and if they thought it was a good value. And then also in those forums, we've got even a section where you can ask me questions and I'll answer because, you know, it's just somebody thinks you're an editor of some site that you're too big to talk to somebody. I don't know why they think that. You know, I sit in my little cubicle. But, you know, I'm there and I'm happy to you know, give any advice, and if I don't know something, I'm going to find somebody who does, you know, and we're all parents, and we're all traveling with our kids, so we understand, and we want to help each other have a good time.
Lisa Pyro from Family Vacation Critic, thank you for joining us on the Travel Guys today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
As always, here to make you a smarter traveler, we are the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK.
going places with that sports leisure flair. A world of adventure, and we take you there.
This is your Sports Leisure Travel Club update for Sunday, August the 21st. If you'd like to find out a little about the trips and vacations offered by Sports Leisure, consider attending our tour and vacation preview day next Saturday at the Marriott Hotel. Seating is still available for the 4:15 show. Go to sportsleisure.com or call our office at 361-8687 for details. Our 2012 catalog of tours will be released. Reservations are required and space is limited. Attention figure skating fans. Did you know the U.S. Figure Skating Championships will be held in San Jose next January? Better yet, did you know that Sports Leisure Vacations is the only tour operator with tickets and hotel packages to the biggest events, the men's and women's finals, along with pairs and ice dancing championships? 3-day, 2-night packages include tickets, accommodations at the beautiful Embassy Suites Hotel in Milpitas, and transportation. For information, go to travelguysradio.com and click on the figure skating link or call our office on Monday. Our lucky travel club members for today are Ardith Ramsdell and Millie Parker. Ardith Ramsdell and Millie Parker, you have won $100 in travel cash. Call the Sports Leisure Vacations office before the close of business Tuesday to claim your prize. And that's your travel club update for today.
It's the Travel Guys and Entertainment Radio program. Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. And just recently, it might have been last week's show, we were talking about Burning Man, and that we should get somebody on to talk about it. And I mentioned to Mark that Phil Cowan, who used to work with me here at the radio station, was a regular. And I think Phil would shave his head and dress weirdly and go there.
Do those kinds of
things.
And
by golly, is that any of that true, Phil?
Well, yeah, some of it is. At least I didn't run around naked. I did have the good sense and the good taste to not subject anyone to that.
Do people do that?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of nudity up there.
I guess
it's a very popular event with your naturist types.
And we have Burning Man has been going on now for a quarter of a century?
Yeah, this is year 25, in fact.
Wow, that was a rabbit. Pull one out of your hat there.
Well, yeah,
and
no,
the reason
20,
I say that
25th
is
one.
A friend of mine has been regularly going out there and dragging other friends with him from time to time. I have escaped. I saw the site one time as it was being prepared for occupation. For people who don't know, Phil, tell them a little bit about what Burning Man is all about.
Well, it started out as just kind of a friendly weekend gathering of people on Baker Beach in San Francisco 25 years ago. And it, you know, grew larger and larger. And for a time, I think for 2 or 3 years, they actually had it on a site that it was held back in Pennsylvania, maybe. And you know, I'm just, you know, talking out my ear here.
We do a lot of that on the radio. So
good. Okay, because so I'm used to it. For the last, gosh, I don't know how many years, it's been in Black Rock Desert, kind of east of Susanville, slightly northeast of Susanville, out in Nevada, near the tiny town of Gerlach. And it's out in a big, dry, flat, alkali lake bed out there. There is nothing out there. There is no vegetation. There's not a tree. It's just alkali dust, and it is become kind of a big art festival. And what they call, I'm trying to remember exactly what they call it on the website. It's an exercise in radical self-expression.
And the whole Burning Man, there really is a Burning Man that
and
this
that
is
began
all built
in the very first one. They had built an effigy, a big wooden effigy of a man, and they burned it down at the end of the weekend, and that's become the big ritual every year. The Saturday night before Labor Day, they burn down the man. And it's kind of just become a big camp-out party art festival, really. And it really is a tremendous place to go watch creative people do silly things.
So you're talking to our audience here on the radio, and someone who's been there, you say 5 years going on six, you know, what would you tell people in regards to what they can expect to experience and what they should plan to take with them, if you will, to experience Burning Man?
Well, you know, my first suggestion would be if you're planning to go and it's your first excursion out there, go to the website, burningman.com, and read their survival guide. They're very, very well prepared on that site and offer a lot of great information. It is a leave no trace event. Everything you take up there with you, including your garbage, you have to take out.
Good.
And since there's nothing there, anything that you want, you have to take with you.
Exactly. The only thing that's available In Center Camp, they do have a coffee shop where you can buy a cup of coffee and a muffin, and they sell ice in three different stations. Other than that, everything there is on the barter system. If you need something, find somebody who has it and trade for it. But you've got to make sure you take plenty of, you know, as Mark said, you have to take everything that you need, and especially a lot of water. It is, you got to be prepared for some warm weather and some really dry weather.
Because you are out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, there's nothing out there. Gerlach is a tiny, tiny little burg, and that's the closest civilization, and it's, you know, 8 miles back up the road.
I've been to that neck of the woods. I was involved in a shoot, if you will, a television shoot. It was for a promotional thing for a dude ranch that resides out there, something Springs, and we went up there. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Yes, and actually there are people who will go out there in the winter and hike. They'll backpack out across the desert and go because they're hot springs.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've not been out there, but I've heard about it, and I understand that it's really quite nice.
Now, what is it that what do you do there? I mean, you mentioned art. Is there live
There's
music?
A lot of nudity. I can report that from friends who have been there, that there is a lot of nudity, and that it is encouraged.
Well, I'll tell you, when I first went, then this was in 2004, my two buddies and I went 2004 through 2008. We missed the last two, and we're going back this year. My artist friend, Eric J. DeCetus, a very prominent local cartoonist, lived in Land Park his entire life, really wanted to go. Come on, guys, we got to go. And I said, I'm not going out there and hanging out with hippies for a week. And I said, okay, finally, he just badgered me until my friend Lindsay Harrison and I said, we'll go. But I said, I've got to have a trailer or a motor home. I will not live out of porta potties for a week. Because unless you bring a self-contained unit, that's what you're using. That's the other service that they provide is porta potties.
Okay, and it is allowed to bring you can bring your motor home, though.
Yes, you can. Okay. And those porta potties by the end of the week are vile.
Our guest on the Travel Guys is Phil Cowan. We're talking about the spectacle that is held in the Nevada desert every year, just before Labor Day, known as Burning Man. And Phil is a Burning Man veteran, having been through the wars five times, and he's off for the sixth.
Yeah, and I'm actually really looking forward to it. This year is somewhat unusual. In the last probably 3 or 4 years, they have had crowds exceeding 50,000 people.
Wow.
Yeah. It really is, for 1 week, a self-contained city that springs up in the middle of nowhere, and when the week is over, it's gone.
Now, this is not free, I might point out. You do have to buy tickets to this, is that correct?
And the tickets have gotten a little bit pricey.
They are pricey. They start out, when they first go on sale, they have so many at the $280 level, and then they jump to $320, and then I think they jump to $360 or $80, and for the first time in their 25-year history, BLM has cut them off at $50,000.
So they can only have 50,000 people in the middle of nowhere.
Well, there will be more, I'm sure, than that. There'll probably be slightly more than that. But they have cut them off at 50,000 sold tickets. So now you're seeing them on eBay and the like going for about $700.
The website really is the answer to a lot of watch-outs in regards to people trying to sell you third-party tickets that may be fake-o.
Yes, because the tickets are expensive, I'm sure there are plenty of counterfeits floating around.
And then there are no tickets for sale at the gate.
See, none.
You will be turned away, not allowed to enter, be sent home, and you will probably not even be allowed a porta-potty break before you go.
You know, I'm trying to remember if they have any outside the gate or not.
You've never been back out there to find out.
Well, no, until I left.
We'll have to check in with you after the event and see how it went. Let's change gears just a little bit from Burning Man to Phil Cowan, the actor. We talked about you several weeks ago when we had a gentleman on from the B Street Theater, and you were in, I think, one of your first major plays. What's up with Phil the actor these days?
Well, at the moment, not much. You know, Paul and I, my former broadcast partner, Paul Robbins, gosh, this has to be 15, 18 years ago, did our first play together down there. He and I did that play again, and then we actually did a play that Paul wrote. And I have probably over the years been in, I don't know, 8 or 9 B Street productions.
What is it that you enjoy about the theater at B Street? Because I'm a huge fan of that theater.
You know, I just I enjoy the process of putting a play together, of learning the lines, figuring out the blocking, the whole production process I find interesting. And, you know, it could believe me, when you're doing it, when you're doing local theater, even though it's a professional equity house, I mean, you're not doing it because you're getting rich. but it is one of the most gratifying things that I've ever experienced in my career, when you stick a pretty good show and you walk back out there for the curtain call and people are genuinely appreciative of what you did, and you walk out to genuine, heartfelt, sustained applause. There's not much better than that.
And you know, at that theater, Phil, I think it's because of the intimacy. It's I can see where you would get that, because you are so close to the audience there, and they're on three sides of you. It's not quite theater in the round, but pretty close.
Well, and there was a time when it was.
Wow.
Yeah, it was configured a little differently in a couple of different stretches, I think, over the history of that theater, where they were in the round, and you just entered on the bomb from the angle. But, yeah, it's. I mean, you can reach out and touch the people in the front row. In fact, Paul and I were on stage one night, and, you know, for crying out loud, they tell you twice in the pre-show to please turn off your cell phones. And this woman that we could have reached out and grabbed, and I was tempted to, answers her phone in the middle of the first act, sitting in the front row, and Paul and I are on stage, and she's going, "What? Hi? No, I can't talk now. I'm at a play. Yeah, okay. I'll call you back later. Bye." Yeah,
I'm intimate,
say the least.
Yeah, knowing you and Paul, I'm surprised that just didn't become part of the show, and you invited her on stage along with her phone.
Well, it was very tempting to just stop and stare at her until she was done.
Yeah.
Phil, thank you so much for some of your time.
Guys, you know, it's my pleasure. And to anybody going up to Burning Man, just be careful. Bring everything you need. Have a great time. And I think you will find it to be a unique experience, and probably the very best people watching in the world.
And if you don't go, you can come back and talk to us in a couple weeks, because we're going to track you down and get a report.
All right. Sounds good, guys. I'm available.
All right. It is the Travel and Entertainment Guys with Phil Cowan right here on News Talk 1530. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, News Talk 1530 KFBK, and time to bring on our special guest. What do you say, Mark?
Hey, Ben Schlopik is on the phone with us. Ben is our frequent flyer, run around the country, beat the system guy. Good afternoon, Ben.
Good afternoon. How's it going?
Pretty good. You home in Florida?
I am, for once.
And you have been following all of this fracas with United and Continental getting merged together, and what they're doing with their frequent flyer programs. And it appears as though people like you and I, who have been getting the advantages on the cheap, may not come out of this situation too well.
Yes. Rumor has it that United next year will be switching partly to a revenue system for qualifying for status. So right now, for example, to achieve entry-level status, you need to just earn 25,000 elite qualifying miles in a year. And rumor has it that next year, in addition to those 25,000 miles, you'll also need to spend at least $2,000 on United. So it looks like they're going to add a revenue component to that.
And that's not just the price of your ticket. It's the price of the fare. The ticket includes a lot of taxes and things like that. So the $2,000 in spend is the money you gave to the airline, not the money you gave to the government. So it's not $400 or $500 tickets. It's a little bit more than that.
Exactly. So it's a frightening prospect for most of us, at least.
So what does this do for somebody like you, who is a mileage runner, who kind of takes advantage of the system for a living? Does this cause a reset?
It completely changes the game, and that's why I've been flying American lately. It doesn't look like they're going to do this. Something else worth mentioning, though, is previously, so Premier members, which is United's entry-level status, got Economy Plus access at the time of booking, but rumor has it also that that's no longer going to be an option, that you can only select it at the time of check-in, which I think would be a huge devaluation for Premier members.
Ben, how did you find out this information?
It was from an inside source, and you know, let's see if United changes their mind after they see the revolts going on as a result. So.
And we really should remind folks that if you go to TravelGuysRadio.com, we'll have a link to Ben's blog there. And when you go to Ben's blog, you will then be introduced to a whole world of travel bloggers and phrases and things that may give you a little bit of a struggle to start with. But if you are a traveler of any type who amasses points and miles and things like that, that you will find quite fascinating. Ben, for the little guy on the street, this is going to mean what to him? I mean, for the guy who sits in the back of the plane, is this going to have any impact on him?
I think for those that don't fly enough to earn status, probably not so much. But for those of, you know, that fly maybe a little bit more and maybe have entry-level status, I think this is a pretty big devaluation potentially. Fewer upgrades, and it's going to be tougher to earn status as well. So it's a double whammy, I think.
Ben, let's shift to hotels here in the minute that we have left. Hotels last year and the year before were offering some terrific deals to folks who, if you were a Hilton customer, you went and stayed twice in a Hilton in a quarter, you got a free night stay. The hotels are cutting back on that, it seems. Are they anticipating that things are getting better? And with the stock market going the way it has, are we going to see some changes in the next couple of weeks? Will we see some creative promotions maybe from hotels?
Yeah, surprisingly enough, they seem to be doing well, and they seem to have high occupancy levels because we have not seen any good promotions yet. But I do suspect that maybe come next month we'll see some of the good old promotions come back, and that's certainly my hope.
Ben, thanks for checking in with us this afternoon. Take care there in Florida, and we'll check back with you in a couple of weeks as this United Continental thing evolves. A lot of folks here in Sacramento who fly a lot are going to certainly be impacted.
Thank you. Talk to you guys soon.
Okay. Ben Schlappig, our blogger, on the phone with us on The Travel Guys. We are The Travel Guys, and
you're tuned to The Travel Guys and Entertainment on Newstalk 1530 KFBK, and let's slide into some entertainment. Mark,
yeah,
what do we
let's
have?
Let's do that. So today, Rachel Langford is here. She is the managing calendar editor from Sacramento365.com, which, if you haven't been there yet, is a website that will tell you all about the arts community in Sacramento. Good afternoon, Rachel.
Hi there.
The more I look at it, the more I get attached to it. You really have done a terrific job here.
Well, great. Thank you. Yeah, we went live probably 3 years ago, just about 3 years ago in October of 2008. And basically, it was developed out of a growing awareness for a good comprehensive website with all events in Sacramento, not just covering specific genres or venues and things like that. And too often we were hearing, oh, there's just nothing to do in Sacramento. I'm sure you've heard that before.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And Rachel, when we were talking off of the air, you explained to me where the funding for this website comes from.
Yeah, well, actually, we're a partnership of the Convention and Visitors Bureau. So it's the tourism industry and then the Metropolitan Arts Commission. So it's very, you know, arts and culture related as well. So we try and, you know, it includes all sorts of events, but we have a specific affinity towards arts and culture recreation type events. But basically, we market it to people who live here, but also to visitors of the city to really show what Sacramento has to offer.
Rachel, if you have any tips for our listeners in regards to negotiating your site?
Sure. I was going to say, you know, we do try and keep it very clean and straightforward, so all the information is easy to find. We make sure every event has all the details you need to know, phone number, descriptions, pictures, all that. But you can search the site by specific category if you're looking for free events, or we even have age range, like for kids or seniors. We also have music, theater, things like that. But you can also search it by date range or a specific date if you have friends coming into town. We just try and make it as simple as possible. And just recently, we did create a couple video tutorials and put them on the site, too, to kind of explain it in case you were unfamiliar. And, you know, some people aren't as web savvy as we like to think they are, so it's very helpful.
Rachel, let me ask, if someone in our audience is out there who has something that they would like to get onto your site, how does one do that?
Oh, great question. It's free and easy to do directly on the website. You don't have to have an account. You don't have to log in. There's a tab called Submit Listings, and then there's a couple options, whether it's an event or a classified, like a call to artists, and it brings up a template, and you fill that out. And we'll contact you and send you a confirmation once it's posted. We do have some restrictions and guidelines, you know, not too business-oriented, something that's open to the public.
So I can't go there and just put in, listen to Tom Romano on Classic 93.1 every afternoon, Monday through Friday through 3-7.
Every time.
Classic hits of the 70s and 80s.
although I'm sure everyone would love to hear about that and know.
Good job, Rachel.
We have certain limitations.
I need assistance here in the studio from time to time. It's nice to have a guest. I actually, while we were talking here, I have your website up, and I went to submit listings and pulled up the submit an event thing, and it really is very user-friendly.
You know, one more thing I'd like to mention, too, is that there's so much going on, it's kind of hard to reel in. It can be a little daunting. So every week we put together a top 10 events list that you can find on the website, but we also send out an e-newsletter to whoever wants to sign up for it, but that we kind of list like the top featured events that we think are going on and try and really give that a wide variety of coverage so we're not biased or anything.
Thank you very much for your time, and we'll tell folks you want to go to Sacramento365.com because that's how you'll find out everything that's going on in Sacramento. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you very much.
This is the Travel Guys and Entertainment. You find us right here, 2 to 3, right on News Talk 1530 KFBK.
Well, Tom, it has been a rather busy afternoon for us here on the Travel Guys.
You bet.
We are running from one thing. Hey, look, breaking news just came in. Tunnel linking U.S. to Russia gains support. No, this is not an April Fool's joke. This is an actual news story. They're talking about a tunnel from Russia to that would replace the old land bridge, which disappeared 21,000 years ago. More news, but such real story. We have had a good program this week. We will be back with you next Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. I will see a bunch of you Sports Leisure Travelers next Saturday at our tour preview day at the Marriott Hotel on Saturday. Tom, you'll be here on Classic 93 all week?
Absolutely.
All right. We are the Travel Guys. Remember, an hour a week is all we ask. That's all.
Just an hour a week.
We'll see you next Sunday at 2 o'clock. For Mark and Tom, have a good week.
Places that I've never